Hey guys, this is Life Talks. Today we are going to cover the gift of the prophet. So, I would say probably along with the gift of the apostle, the gift of the prophet is probably one of the most asked about areas, you know, prophecy, prophets, things like that. And so, and then their unique relationship to the apostles. And so I think we're going to talk about a little bit of all of that today. So bear with us, or bear with me, I should say. But I want to lay the foundation. The prophet is kind of like, well, let's just say this. The prophet's like the plumb line for the church. Okay, the prophet is to the church what the plumb line is to the builder. And it's an extremely important role, and they're still present today. You know, a lot of people argue, well, they're not. You know, I covered this in previous podcasts, but just to further solidify it, the prophet is still in operation today. Essentially, we need to understand that these are post-ascension. These are ascension gifts. Jesus gave these gifts after he ascended. Okay, and that, excuse me, that's how we know that they're still in operation today. Now, you know, according to David, when the Lord withdraws his prophets, he withholds his right hand. Okay, and you can go to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1, Psalm 74, verses 9-11, Ezekiel 7:26. All of these are references of that. Okay, the prophet is the right hand of God. The prophet is the mouthpiece of God. There is a difference between Old Testament and New Testament prophecy. Trust me, Old Testament prophets, they were stoned when they missed it. Okay, we don't do that in the New Testament, right? When the prophet no longer functions, the people degenerate, right? Their behavior, they lapse into disorder and confusion. Okay, all of these things are important. Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there's no vision or prophetic revelation, some translations say, the people are unrestrained, okay? There's no order, so I think that's important for us to understand. The prophet is a model of Jesus. Jesus is the great prophet, the one that Moses and all of the prophets of the Old Testament pointed towards. So we need to understand that Jesus is the supreme prophet. He is the great prophet. And that's where the prophets, you know, we get our ministry from him. You know, the fivefold ministry. It's the aspect of Jesus himself, which he imparts to those individuals with that gifting. Okay. So let's talk about a few more functions of the prophet. This is in the book Apostolic Teams. Prophets with apostles are involved in building and establishing churches. Okay, they lay foundations for the churches. The apostles and prophets lay foundations for the churches. So let's talk about this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20. Paul says this. Well, let's go up to verse 18. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Okay, so because of the context text here, the Paul is saying apostles and prophets, he's not referring to Old Testament prophets, which a lot of people think, because he is saying due to the apostles and prophets, okay? So these are the giftings that Jesus Christ gives to build his church. And then he further elaborates on that in chapter 4 when he starts talking about the fivefold ministry, okay? So prophets are in charge with an apostle to building and establishing a church. The prophet proclaims a message of revelation. They get divine revelation from the Lord, and they proclaim that message to the church. So every person, because they are, well, every person, because they're born again and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, can receive revelation from the Lord. However, there's a unique grace on the prophet to receive that revelation and speak it to the church. All right? A lot of times we get personal revelation, we can share it with others, but the prophet has, as the mouthpiece of the Lord, they have the grace to receive revelation and impart it for the church. They are a governmental gifting, a gift, right? And so the prophet also knows certain aspects of the future. So then you get like the prophet operates in a prophetic gift. And we need to understand this as well, that all prophets operate differently. Okay, not every prophet's going to be up there having third heaven encounters. Not every prophet's going to be going into trances. Some prophets operate completely differently. Okay, you can't necessarily judge a prophet based on the degree of revelation. Well, degree maybe the wrong word, but the type of revelation they get. Okay, but the fact that they are getting revelation from the Lord, and so the prophet, the Lord speaks to the prophets about futures things. He speaks to the prophet about warnings, right? We see that. We see Agabus in Acts warning the church about a coming famine. And then Agabus tells Paul later on in the book of Acts that he will be bound, essentially, if he goes to Jerusalem. Okay, the prophet discloses things about people's lives that's good and bad. The prophet speaks of problems that he sees or she sees, as well as the solutions. Okay, the prophet also can bring encouragement and strength to the body of Christ. That's the essence of the prophetic gift. Exalt, exhort, and edify people in the body. So the uniqueness of the New Testament prophet is that the gift works with the apostles. Okay, the gift works along the side of the apostle, and they work together to really create a synergy, as I kind of mentioned in the last podcast. They work together, and the sum of their gift is much greater than, the synergy, the result of their gift is much greater than the sum of their gifts. So, in other words, an apostle and a prophet, when they come together, are much more than the sum of their giftings. So, instead of 1 plus 1 equaling 2, okay, which would be regular summation, when the apostle and the prophet come together, it's more like multiplication. So it would be like 1 plus 1 equals 5. Okay, and that's just a biblical principle as well. So the apostle, here's the thing: while the apostle's revelation that they get from the Lord is more of a blueprint for what the church is to become, right, the prophet is able to point to and give the direction and instruction necessary to arrive at the fulfillment. All right, and that's how they operate together. So the apostle usually has an overall understanding and feeling of what the church needs to be or do, and the prophet is the one that helps get the apostle there. He says, you need to go this way, you need to do this. And I mean, just personal experiences with the prophetic and people who are prophets, I mean, it is such an amazing gift that I don't know how people operate without it, to be honest. You know, up here at Christian Center, we have Jonathan West, who's a prophet, and never having worked with an individual like John, I can tell you that the gifting that he brings to the church is, I mean, like I said, I don't know how people operate without it. There are many times when things have happened in departments that I'm responsible for, and I know they're spiritual, and I can go to him, and, you know, the Lord will speak to him, give him a dream, give him something, and then he can help me navigate the reality of that. Because prophets can see spiritual realities and spiritual problems more than most other gifts, and they're very sensitive to those things, and they can help navigate those things. And so really, they really are a true blessing. The other unique thing, and I've mentioned this in other podcasts, I think the evangelist podcast, is the prophet, probably along with the evangelist, has really been disconnected from the church for a long time. Okay, the prophet, because of the nature of the call, okay, they usually spend a long time. They're almost usually too mystical for some people, right? They're too mystical, too spiritual, and that can be kind of off-putting for other ministries, especially if you're a teacher. Sometimes teachers have a problem with that because they can be very focused in Scripture and the Word and very dogmatic, and they forget that there is a spiritual reality, which is not as easy to always interpret for people. And I think that's a gift of the prophet too, is they help interpret spiritual realities for the body. And so they can be so mystical that they kind of get maybe rejected or pushed aside. And but that's part of it. Like a real prophet, it's necessary for a prophet to spend large amounts of time in the presence of the Lord, and where they receive revelation. Okay, and look, you need to understand that this is not just knowledge they're receiving. It's not informational knowledge. It's revelatory knowledge from the Lord. Okay, which is completely different. Than just informational knowledge. Remember, the job of the teacher is to take that revelatory knowledge and help make it understandable and impart that to the church. And so then, and also, you know, because the prophetics are usually very sensitive to things, they can usually carry burdens, large burdens, which can make them come off as being a little fanatic or strange to people, okay? Because when you have a burden of the Lord, you just it's carrying a burden is not a fun thing, okay? And so sometimes prophetic people can seem maybe erratic, spontaneous, maybe even bipolar in the way they operate. But again, that's just the nature of the call. And so because of that, when they first that and then this bad theological understandings in the American church for a while, where we didn't think the gifts were still in operation. So when the prophets came and they're just being themselves and they're having revelation and encounters, and they go to their church leaders, well, the church leaders probably threw them out or said, well, you got a demon, we need to deliver you from this because the Lord doesn't do this anymore. Okay, and because of that, many churches ostracized their gift. And it wasn't until really not too long ago that the gift really started to be accepted and emerge back into the church again. And, you know, someone was telling me about a friend of theirs who was part of that early movement of the prophetic, where the prophetic was really trying to come back into the church. And this individual lost count of how many churches he was thrown out of. I mean, physically thrown out of, because he was prophesying. Okay, and we're not talking about judgment words. We're talking about even edifying, encouraging words. And so, thankfully, a portion of the church has started to embrace this gift. But because of that, they're unique in that the first big generation of prophets in that movement grew up pretty independent from the church, being outside the church but trying to come in the church. And usually there were some offenses, some wounds, some hurts. But this generation of the prophetic is a generation where they have grown up within the church. And so we're seeing a different expression. And that's, you know, John has talked with me about that on several occasions. So we're actually getting to see what the prophetic and the prophet is really supposed to function as in a local body. And so another function of that, that John would say, is that the prophet is really responsible for also administrating the prophetic gift and prophecy within a church. And I think we can see that very clearly here at Christian Center. And so the prophet is very unique in that. Now, obviously, like we said, each of these things has each of these giftings have some downfalls or things just to be careful with. And again, remember, we're not talking about personality here. We're talking about functions and gifts. So the personality of a prophet can be whatever you could imagine. You could be funny and outgoing and extroverted to serious and inward and introverted. So we're not talking about personality here. We're talking about functions, all right, and how they function. But a prophet really does need to be willing to work in tandem with an apostle, okay? And that's not apparently always easy. As I've come into this charismatic church almost a decade ago now, and I've started to see this, it's not as easy, at least in the American church, for these two gifts to work in tandem, because the prophet says, I hear the Lord, I don't need an apostle, and the apostle says, I can hear the Lord too, I don't need a prophet, and that's not really good. So prophets are really good to complement other ministries. They need to guard themselves and be willing to submit as well. Even submit their revelations to other prophets and other leaders in the church that can be judged. There is some occupational hazards, like they tend to be free spirited and independent. They feel very strongly and deeply about things and people. I think that's something that's I've really learned about the prophetic and people who are prophets is how strongly they do feel things. You know, there's a bunch of other things we could talk about as well, but prophets also are usually required to pay a price because they have to be willing to spend a large amount of their life in that revelatory dimension with the Lord. And so they can be frequently misunderstood, but that's pretty much the nature of the gift, is they're willing to do that. And I think that says a lot about them, that they're willing to pay the price to spend time with the Lord and get to know His heart. But so those are just some really, really simple things about the prophetic. They are very passionate, usually, about the truth. You know, there is no gray area for a prophet. It's all white and black, usually. And I think that's also another important aspect and characteristic of the gift. You know, I think our experience right now with the prophetic, you know, I think most people need to understand that just because you can prophesy does not mean you're a prophet. And I think there are a lot, probably fewer prophets than people claim, than people would claim. Because we're talking about fivefold gifting here. Okay, we're talking about fivefold gifting of a prophet. And then we're not even, let's even talk outside of that. Then we're talking about like regional, local level. So what's the degree of the authority if you are a prophet? What's the degree of your authority? Because, you know, are you a prophet to your local church, your regional church? Are you a prophet to the state, to the nation, or international? Okay, there are different degrees of authority when it comes to the prophetic. Just like there are, and we've talked about with the apostolic. Interesting thing to talk about, though, when we talk about apostles and prophets, because an apostle, the characteristic nature of an apostle and the definition is one who is sent. Remember, we talked about in the apostle podcast that an apostle carries the same authority of the individual who sent them, so Jesus Christ. Now, an apostle is sent to a specific group, location, whether that's geographical or group of people. It's because you got, for example, you have Paul who was sent to the Gentiles, Peter who was sent to the Jews. Okay, so you see that distinction there. So what happens? So when Paul says, "I'm an apostle to the Gentiles," what does that mean? That means he has the grace of an apostle functioning in him when he is among Gentiles. Okay? So an apostle really has their unique authority and that grace operating in them when they are within the realm and the sphere of where the Lord has called them. A prophet is unique because a prophet's a prophet wherever he goes, right? Because, you know, the prophet carries that revelation, that unique, those unique encounters. And so a prophet is really a prophet wherever he goes, whereas an apostle only really carries that apostolic authority in the realm or sphere of where he's been sent. That is the definition of an apostle, someone who is sent. Okay. So if you're sent like to America, to the nations, then you really carry that apostolic authority for the nation. So if you go to another nation, let's say you go to Chile, right? It doesn't mean that you can't function in giftings and things like that. It just means that that authority, that unique apostolic authority that you carry is going to be different when you're outside your realm of influence. Just like Paul. Paul still could go to the Jews, right? But he just realized he had a grace for Gentiles. Okay, because you see an evolution in his ministry in the book of Acts where he starts, you know, every city he goes to, he'd go to the synagogue, he'd go to the Jews, he'd speak to them, and he gets to a point where he gets enough backlash and enough persecution from the Jews that he kind of just wipes his hands and says, "I am going to the Greeks, you know, I'm going to the Gentiles," and then you see just the grace of his ministry really explode. Well, Peter had grace with the Gentiles. Peter had grace with the Jews. Doesn't mean he wasn't operating within, he couldn't go to the Gentiles and have those encounters, because you see that with Cornelius as well, where Peter goes to the house of Cornelius and they receive the Holy Spirit. But they understood where they had their giftings and graces. And so just like that in a prophet, again, a prophet is a prophet wherever he goes, but also a prophet needs to understand their gift and their level of authority while to which they can operate. Some prophets are not called to be governmental positions in the church. In other words, you might be a prophet, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have the authority to speak into a governmental, like at a governmental level within the church. In other words, to help steer the overall church into a specific direction. Now, it might be for your local church, okay? And so those are things that you need to understand. There are degrees of prophets as well. So I think that'll cover the prophet. There's about a million different things we could talk about, but we're just trying to cover the overview of the gift and function as it pertains to the church, okay, the body. And they are really good at equipping other people with the prophetic gift in a body. They're very good at coming into a church and releasing that prophetic gifting. And I think that's what we're going to start seeing even more now than ever. Before we close, I do want to mention that it's very important for the apostle and prophet to work together. And in fact, I mentioned this before in the series that the Lord a little while ago told me. Really told me that it's very important for us to, for me to pray for the him to raise up. This is what the Lord told me. He's pretty much said, Scott, pray for me to raise up my apostles and prophets. And I was like, oh, okay. And then it was pray for them to be able to work together in tandem. And as the Lord told me that, what I saw is I saw two railroad tracks. Right, two railroad tracks, or the railroad tracks. You know, the railroad tracks have the two steel bars that run all the way down the track. And the apostle is one of those bars, and the prophet is the other. And together they help move that train in the right direction. And those things can hold up a lot of weight, and they can give they can help give momentum to the actual train. They can help give the train traction so that the train is heading in the right direction. Okay, and that is how the Lord showed me the apostolic and the prophetic working together in tandem. All right, but if they're not working together, then that train's not going to be moving. Okay, and we need to get that train moving, especially in the Church of America. We call it the sleeping church, the sleeping giant. Well, it's also like a still train. It's going to take a lot to get that thing moving, but the apostles and the prophets are going to help lay that foundation to get that thing going in the right direction. So that is all we have for today, guys. Be blessed. We'll continue in this series just talking about how these gifts work together and the idea of apostolic teams. So talk to you guys later. Be blessed. Thank you.